Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to the second episode of Season 3 of Psyched to be with you. Today's guest is Liz Favorito. Liz is a friend of mine, an absolute legend, and yet another one of the wonderful humans I got to meet at PAX East 2022. And as PAX East 23 is round the corner, I'm going to be reunited with Liz for some more hijinks and hilarity. We talk about Liz being a French teacher, the impact of being a nerd in that, and volunteering for Take This. Liz also loves rolling dice and recently shared the digital stage with some of her D&D heroes. All this, many more laughs, jokes and stories. Honestly, this episode just kind of like flew by. Next thing I knew, I looked and it was like, oh, 2 hours. There were a couple of technical issues with my recording program, just kind of, you know, deciding not to record at points. I tried to remove any gaps that there were, but they only lasted a couple of seconds. So hopefully you can understand and bear with me there. And there were also a couple of inferences of strong language, but not too much. But otherwise, I hope you enjoy this episode as much as me. It was a delight and a pleasure and a really fun one. I hope you enjoy it. Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Psyched to be with you, with me, your host Christopher Leach, aka Chimp195, and yet another fantastic, super mega fudge coated awesome guest. While bopping along to that theme tune, it does not get old. Love to see it. This is gonna be another hot one. This is episode 2 of season 3. Yes, it's difficult to keep count at this point because there's just so much delicious content for you to consume. Well, I'm hyped. This is going to be a great one. It's a great opportunity for me to sit down with another one of my favourite humans and just chat mints. Season starting off hot. We're setting the bar high for everyone else that comes on the show. So all that remains me to do is pass over to my very special guest and say, please, can you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hey, my name is Liz Favorito. You may have seen me around the internet as Liz Fabtastic. I do a little bit of this and that. During the regular day, I teach high school French. I've been teaching for, oh my gosh, 14 years now, which is scary. I realized the other day I have students who have children. yeah. Well, not current students, although except
we're gonna sidestep that one.
Yeah. And then in my off time, I just roll a lot of dice.
Rolling dice is very fun.
Yes. You know, I do some volunteer work with an organization that I don't think we even need to name at this point.
The show has become Chris, Take This and Friends at this point. If Take This ever wanted to do a podcast, they could just use the episodes of all my interviews with...
We really could. Like, just go back.
As, like, a like, first hey guys, season. You... Like, a meet yep. the staff kind of episode.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I'm just, like, a big old nerd. So...
Well, you're in great company, Liz, I'll be fair.
Yes. Like, the best of company, can I say.
Now, come on. Hey, you're the guest, okay? Right? But yeah, Liz is one of those other amazing humans that I met through Take This on the internet, as we do. Like do a little origin story, you know. So, you know, you're one of the mods there. You also swing the ban hammer. Not very often, but you have the power to.
I do.
And we met there. We met in Boston last year at Take This. At the Take This booth was where we physically met during PAX mm-hmm. East.
We met at the airport.
I was going to say, you were nice enough to pick me up.
I got into a fight with a state cop.
it was fisticuffs. There was violence. It was beautiful.
Yeah, there was blood everywhere.
Yeah. That'll teach him to not wear his hat correctly.
yeah, and we celebrated your birthday.
Yes, that was also...
We went all out and it was great.
It was a great time. And we're doing it all again. This goes out, next month. March 23. It's gonna be
pretty
hype. So with that kind of framed, you do a lot of stuff, general nerd. And let's talk about teaching French. I mean, I was subjected to being taught French in school. Not a subject I enjoyed. The teacher was like, "Here's a worksheet. I'll see you in an hour." Which is great when you're trying to learn a language, I can say.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that was excellent. But I like languages. French is known as the language of love. You know, how is teaching that to young people?
You know, it's interesting because I was trying to think as, you know, we were as time was counting down to do this interview, and I don't remember wanting to be a teacher as a kid. Definitely not a French teacher. When I was in high school, I hated French. Absolutely hated it. I did not do well in it. And then my senior year of high school, we had a student teacher who became our full-time teacher. And I went off to college. I was a science major and I wasn't taking foreign language, but I wanted to keep up with it. I started taking Japanese in college. So the student teacher and I would write each other letters. And
Oh, okay.
after, yep.
Yeah, not. We'll come back to that.
Yep. So we would write each other letters in French. And after about a year, I was like, wow, environmental science is hard. What am I going to do with my life? And they had started advertising terms abroad, and they were like, and I was like, oh yeah, I speak French. Let's go to France. So I switched my major and you know, Bob's your uncle, and suddenly I was a French teacher. So
Checks out.
well, part of it is so the French program does this really innovative program where they invite young, like youngish, like 20s and 30s, cultural assistants into the schools. And so I got a job out of college working as a teacher's aide in a French high school. So I lived in France for a year. I taught, and you know, I was like, this teaching thing isn't so bad. Granted, you know, my students set fire to a classroom my first day teaching in France.
I mean, they love a revolution over there, am I right?
They do. The French do love setting things on fire. So they learn very
We just
quick.
got the podcast banned off Spotify.
Yes, we did. My boyfriend Mbappe just broke up with me. And
Killian, no.
so yeah, apparently, you know, rubbing your sneakers against the carpet and then touching the back of the tower, not a great idea. It causes sparks and smoke. So yeah, that was my introduction to teaching, and that pretty much sums up what teaching is like. Putting out literal fires.
So you just thought, you know what? I like teaching French and I like being a firefighter.
I mean, yeah. A lot of it was I really enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed making connections with students, and I enjoyed sharing my passion. You know, I really started to love French history, French language, French culture. And looking back now, I think no matter what subject I taught, I would always end up a teacher somehow.
So I do a bit of teaching in the old PhD realm. I teach stats on SPSS, the most exciting subject one can teach in psychology, as you can imagine.
Numbers. Yep.
Numbers, yeah. And you have to work with students to help them get the material and things like this. Like, you know, it's a very, very engaged kind of thing to help teach, right? What's it like teaching a foreign language to students? Because, you know, with like stats, there's a blanket of like knowledge, you know. They know how to use a computer, they know how to press buttons when you say press buttons, and they kind of know what numbers are, right? They might know a bit of math. But when you're just kind of like, here's an entirely new thing, that must be really, like, really dope to see someone begin to grasp that, right?
It really is, especially because, you know, I'm sure we were taught language the same way. Here's 100 vocab words, memorize them. Here's some grammar drills. Memorize these 14 tenses, but that's not how we teach language anymore.
But you mean things in education have moved on?
Yeah, believe it or
Call
not,
the police.
progression.
What is
I
this?
know.
Progression in education? Never. Not in my
Yeah, I mean, listen,
country.
in some content areas, not all. And so it's all about a natural approach. So, you know, I've been teaching French one for, oh my goodness, 9, 10 years. And at the end of their first year of French, my students are reading short novels. Can they speak French? Not really, but it's all about input and comprehension. So it's literally just drown them in French until they
Metaphorically.
can, yes, metaphor. I mean,
The words, the language, you know.
yes, the words. And let them pop out a few words. But you know, when you look at natural language acquisition, you spend how many months, how many years talking at children until they start to produce single words and phrases. And that's really how we approach teaching language now is we're going, you know, all we want, you know, we tell our students by the end of French one, maybe you can write three or four sentences without help.
Whereas, like,
And
my experience was like, I'm going to tell you how to tell me who you are and where you live, and then you will pass. And I'm like, okay, let's practice this.
And honestly, it's much more enjoyable as a teacher now because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love grammar. Like, oh, grammar.
Well, okay, I'm gonna put an 18 rating on this podcast episode.
Yeah,
Romance
you
between you
know,
and grammar,
just
steamy.
talk to me about the past subjunctive and like, let's go.
Passive, I'm like, what?
I know.
What?
But you know, language and teaching has become much more enjoyable because the kids aren't suffering and you're having fun, and I get to do so much more culture with them. And you know, I'm a big history nerd. Like, I have a tattoo of a guillotine on me, so I get to take 2 weeks to talk to the kids about the French Revolution, and things that we never would have touched when I was in school.
So I would say you're a very cool human. That's how I would describe
Thanks.
you. Do you kind of like, what's kind of your approach to physically teaching? Like, obviously you have the methods and the program, right? But like, I imagine you to be a very kind of cool, chill teacher, like the kind of teacher that kids like. You're like, do you have like
I
kind of
mean,
a no English in this classroom kind of approach,
oh dear
or?
God, no. Dear God, no. You know, I teach lower levels, and the unfortunate truth is that as a French teacher, it's all about the numbers. If there aren't enough kids who are willing to take French, they're not going to pay me. So it is a little bit of a popularity contest to begin with, because if you don't have the numbers to run the classes, they don't have the money to pay you. But for me, you know, I try to say that I leave my ego out of it, that the important part is that my kids are learning how to be good human beings. You know, if my students leave the classroom and they don't know a word of French, but they understand a little more how to be like a good global citizen, you know, that's a win for me.
Because I take the kind of
So.
same approach in that, like, I deliver, like, and this is a quote from someone who peer observed me, like a stand-up comedian. I do it more for the performance because that will make it memorable and therefore help with the exchange. Like, if I'm personable, that helps the stats seem less scary, so we can work through it together,
Yes.
right? That's how I kind of
Oh
approach
yeah.
it.
I had one of my principals once told us that, you know, so we teach three classes a day. You know, as a teacher, every single one of your classes is a performance. You know, the Liz Favorito who stands in front of a classroom of students is not necessarily like the Liz Favorito I am every other day.
And where the Favorito who does take this plays fit into that?
And they're very similar because you know I've got a you know I grew up in Boston. I swear like a sailor. Can't really do that in school. Can't really do that on Take This Plays. Although I do swear more in school than I do on stream. Sometimes it's for impact.
You swear in French,
But
though?
a lot of times, yes.
Okay, so at least it's learning. You're helping them.
The students really enjoy when I just scream at them in French and they're like, oh, we don't know what you're saying, but we know you're bad.
So I was gonna ask for a demonstration of the accent anyway, but can you give us a flavor of that? Just because I'm curious. Like my
You want me to
Frenchless, like I realize how this
you
sounds
want me
like
to
please scream at me, like not
you want me
okay.
to you want me to swear at you in French or
I mean, you just like give, like, you know, I'd like to A, hear your accent, say something in French because that's cool. I like accents, but also like if you could get a bit mad so we can get an essence of what that's like, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll start off like teacher and then I'll bonjour, je m'appelle Elisabeth, j'ai 37 ans. Oui, j'ai 37 ans, ouais. Et j'habite à Massachusetts. Mais vraiment aujourd'hui, Tu me casses le cul et je suis finie. Alors, t'es un vrai con, ok? Un vrai con.
Oh, you could hear it. That was exquisite. Now, if you're listening to this, you'll go check out an episode of season one with Oxane Bock, who's also a French resident living in Germany, and compare those accents. Definitely do that.
I will say I've got a little bit of a northern accent when it comes to the French, like a northwestern accent, because that's where I lived. I lived with a French family when I was in college, and that's sort of where I became comfortable with the language. But yeah, swear the French are very creative when it comes to swearing. So swearing in French is a lot of fun.
Excellent. So I kind of like to probe then just a little bit, if that's all right. Like, what was that? Because they say
Okay.
the best way to learn a language is to like plonk yourself in the country, right? Not everyone can do that. Privilege is an important element. You had this opportunity through college, right? What was that like, just going to a foreign country and embedding yourself within a family and learning a language? Like,
It was absolutely terrifying. So the disclaimer is that the day I left for France was the last day of my mother's chemotherapy treatments. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I was a very, very nervous child to the point where I considered not going because I was so worried about my mother. And my sister is like, "Don't be an idiot, like, go." So my program director mentioned to my host mother, who is a saint of a woman, I love her so much, that, I needed a little extra TLC because of all this that was going on with my family. And she took it a little too far. The French love food. French food is amazing. Ugh. And I would eat my dinner, and without saying anything, she would just put more food on my plate. And I didn't want to be rude, so I would eat, and she would put more food on my plate to the point where I was like eating myself sick.
Oh.
And I had to reach out to my professor to be like, someone needs to tell her to stop. Like, so I remember the day she got the phone call, and that night at dinner, she like went to put more food on my plate, and my host sister was like, seriously, just stop. Like, I'm sorry, your food is so good, but I'm gonna throw up.
I mean,
It's
you're
too
there
much.
just like, there's a limit to how many croissants one can eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, is there though?
It's high, but it's there.
Yes, it's still there. So it was, it was scary, but luckily, I had all my friends with me. I was friends with everyone in my program. We met it was a program for international students, so we were in classes with other kids who were learning French. I unfortunately had to take creative writing, which for all that I love TTRPGs, I am awful at creative writing. I failed my creative writing class. Literally the only class I've ever failed in my life. And now I just play D&D all the time.
Funny how that works out.
I know, right?
Okay, so
So
that gives us a really cool like understanding of how you got to where you are with your teaching. I think that's really cool. I've like tried a couple of times to learn a different language and just never really
it's
had
not easy.
it's I think it's the spare spoons, the extra cognition. But also like truly I think unless you are in a class with a truly trained professional or you are going to the country, it's really difficult, right? Like using apps and stuff will get you so far, but it's not going to really help you understand like the syntax of the language, right?
And not only that, but what you learn in a textbook and the way people speak in real life are two completely different things. So I didn't feel like I truly understood French until I lived there. It also helped that my host family did not speak English. I had an older brother who o his, the only English he knew was the chorus to Ciara's 1-2 step. It was very popular at the time. And
Wow.
he learned how to say, "You have no friends." And so when we saw each other in the house, we would body slam each other into the walls. And he would yell in English, "You have no friends." And I would yell in French, "You have no friends."
There's like an element of like the brutal truth within that. There's two people volley. Yes. You have no friends yes. to each other. big sad.
But it was, I mean, it was great. It was like a real sibling relationship. So
have you been like, back really to France like that many times? Like, have you spoken to the host family since? Like, you
know. Oh, we still talk. I've gone back to visit them. I've lived in France a few times, so.
Pardon me.
Yes. I've chaperoned a few student trips over there, which is, whew, that's always an interesting situation. But yeah, I like, part of me will always feel a little French. Okay. And like, not necessarily like national French, but my host family was in Brittany, which is like, it's like a whole other world. Like, as Quebec is to the rest of Canada, Brittany is to the rest of France. It has its own culture and way of life, and it's just the chillest place in the world.
For UK listeners, as Liverpool is to the rest of the UK. Well, the rest of England, sure. I should say.
Yes. So.
Okay, interesting. Okay, I can see that parallel. I mean, have you ever thought about moving over, like, you know, permanently? Like, staying in France, or...?
It's tricky because, you know, family is very important to me. You know, I've got an elderly mother who I could not live that far from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I love to go back for a year or two? Yes. Or, you know, one day spend my summers over there, but I don't think I could make it permanent.
Oh, like so. A house in the chateau kind of thing. You know,
yes, my chateau in Loire Valley. Yeah. Little okay. cottage somewhere. You can usually find like run down French castles on Zillow for a couple hundred thousand. Like,
I'm sorry. What? Just like,
I mean, they're everywhere. You can't like turn a street corner in France without running into like a run down chateau. So,
I mean, there's literally like a TV series like Escape to the Chateau, like in England, where it's yeah. like, you know, rich people go and buy a broken down chateau in the south of France, mm-hmm. and you see them do it mm-hmm. over the course of an hour.
Oh yeah, aren't like, oh my gosh, I don't know if they're popular in the UK. Chip and Joanna Gaines, they're these home makeover people who are super popular in the US, and I believe they literally are doing a show right now where they like renovate a castle.
I mean, we probably have equivocal people. I mean, I don't watch daytime TV because I'm a busy boy. But, you know, generally speaking, like, it's the kind of crap that we eat up, yes.
See, because I used to love, oh my gosh, what was the show where they would fix up people's gardens?
Oh, like Backyard SOS or something ridiculous. Or like insert names, beautiful backyards or something.
No, it was like, oh man,
it'll be like
me crazy.
Garden SOS or just something silly, because that's how British programs yeah. are usually named. Like yeah. Homes Under the Hammer is literally a program about homes that are bought at auction. Homes Under the Hammer,
yeah,
like,
no,
couldn't get a more like, bluntly uninteresting title for a TV show.
But they're so good. Like, Home Run of...
You're not wrong. You know what? US show that's really popular over here, Extreme Makeover. That was really big a few years back. No, I mean, like, it was definitely, like, a while ago that it happened, that it was really big. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, We could get into the politics, but we won't.
I know.
but, like, definitely, like, there was a weird thing of, like, because, again, from a UK-centric perspective, the way houses are built over in the US is very different to how they're built here. But, like, it was interesting to see, like, yeah, we're just going to build a massive freaking mansion. Like, just because we can. It's like, okay, boss. Like, we have 60-minute makeover here that where we'll repaint a couple of rooms and give them a sofa.
Hey. No, in the US it was very much like, you know, here's this mom who's working 5 jobs to support her 3 children. We're going to build her a mega mansion. And then tax time comes around and guess who's selling their mega mansion? So.
Things you know. Okay, so to unswiftly move on, as I check my notes here, because I am a professional podcast host, the word professional in a quotation. So you do all that, but you do take this plays. We had Dr. B on the show
I
at the end of
do.
last season. He used to do take this plays. We talked about the B blushometer, the great thing that it was. What's that like? How's that being involved with Take This? Like, yo, give us your perspective, your views.
Well, it's funny because I'm still not quite sure how I ended up on
I don't know how I ended up here, but I'm here
it.
and I'm not going to leave.
So, as a teacher, I have summers off, and for all that I love teaching, it's maybe not necessarily the best profession for me because I very much strive on routine and having things to do. So I had reached out to Katrina, who is the business manager, to be like, "Hey, I've got this summer off. Like, is there work that you need done?" Thinking, like, "Oh, can you proofread this? Can you do that?" And Katrina was like, "Here's a laundry list of like tax code we need to familiarize ourselves with. Here's this, here's that. And by the way, we need someone to pick up streaming with Dr. Hayes." And I was just like, yeah, okay. And so I did a couple streams with Sarah, and then it was time, our the most amazing and wonderful Dr. Kelly Dunlap, it was time for her to return to the show. And they're like, "No, just stick around." I was just like, "Okay, I'll stay as long as you want me here." And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, I don't know what my role is in all of this, but I will enjoy it and ride it until this wave ends. So.
So my question then is, take this if you're listening. What would you put on your CV to describe this time? So your resume? Like, because I feel like it needs an appropriate title, right? Like,
I think officially I was Take This intern, but I do believe the message I sent was like, you said I can swear every now and then. Like, send me your bitch work. Like, what is the stuff you need done that you don't want to
the true way of all business. I'll do the things other people don't want to.
I mean, exactly. I like helping people. We always talk, or well, everyone always talks about like their love language, and part of me thinks it's a little bogus. But if I had to define myself, for me, it's acts of service. I like doing things for other people. I like bringing a smile to other people's faces.
Okay, so let's
Anything
get
I can
let's
do.
crack the knuckles here. Okay, I love the whole like love language, but bedazzle kind of stuff, right? Okay, love it. That's all fun, but for me, you fall into that taxonomy there of like, we're going to take things, and a very rich person has decided to put these in boxes,
Oh my
and
gosh,
have
I know.
claimed the labels so that everyone can now use them, make them normal, so I can be rich. I had a big debate, like why do people love putting their Myers-Briggs results like in their bios on social media websites and stuff? Like, I'm an INFJ. Great, mate. Like, the Myers-Briggs is awful, rooted in colonialism, racism, ableism, and everything that's bad about everything. Five factor model exists. It's much better. It's much more validated. It's much more scientific. Like, it also doesn't treat people in the binary. It's like a you're on the spectrum of introversion and extroversion. Most people are in the middle because, guess what? No one is, like, often people aren't in the extremes. Like,
I know. I think as a layperson, it's language that works well for me. I don't know, I don't know all your fancy psychology terms, so finding words that sort of express how I feel, I think, is why I use that.
I'm not like knocking people using it. It was just like a like why how about instead of trying to come up with loads of labels and stuff for people, how about we just like, I really enjoy doing this, and that's a thing that I enjoy doing. Like, if you like doing stuff for really nice, fun, charitable organizations, that's a good thing. We should just celebrate that as it is. Like, if you are who you are with your personality and you're an awesome human, then that's cool. Like, that's just Liz being Liz. I'm here for it.
I mean, yeah. I'll yeah, that's a valid point. I think sometimes,
I like science, but I'm a humanist, you know?
sometimes, sometimes I get the, are you sure? Are you sure you're not too busy? Are you sure you want to do this? And I'm like, yes, like this is who
As
I
you
am. This
drag
is what I
yourself along
do.
the floor from all the work that
Yes.
you've taken on. Sure, put someone else on, mate. It's not going to slow me down. It's
Yeah,
not going to slow me
yeah.
down.
So, maybe it's a little defensive. But yeah.
Okay.
That's what, I guess that's how I see it.
So how did you, so we talked about you falling into the take this place role. How do you find that?
Yeah.
What's that like hosting the hottest Monday night stream there is on Twitch?
It's a ton of fun, I sort of, my relationship with Take This, I sort of fell into it.
Yeah, let's get the
I
origin
had,
story. Let's start from the start.
let's get back to my evil origin story.
Evil.
So I've been going to PAX East for years and years and years.
Hence, big nerd, right?
Yes. I was actually, and I didn't realize this, I was at the very first AFK room. Because it was my first PAX and I got out onto the expo floor and it was just like, nope, bye. And so in 2019, I bought my passes for East and my crew that I usually go with were like, oh yeah, we can't go this year. And I was like, what am I gonna do for a weekend by myself? I'm
Have
not.
fun.
I mean, so then I get this email that's like, hey, do you want to volunteer for Take This? I'm like, well, I may as well. Somehow my very first shift ended up being working a chair a fundraiser party that Wormwood threw. So my very first experience with Take This was, all the purple people, as we call them.
Take this
Like,
staff for people that don't know the Discord.
yes,
Color
Take This
roles.
staff. They had, yeah, their roles in Discord are purple, so we call them the purple people.
Purple being best color, as we
As
know.
yes. All of these guys from Wormwood, all of these other organizations, and I was like, this isn't that bad. And then, I'm sorry, this was 2020, because then, 2 weeks later, the world shut down. And we're goodness gracious, Take This puts out an email saying we're gonna start a Discord. We are looking for moderators. And I was like, well, why not? Started moderating. They started their show on Twitch and I started moderating for that and just sort of it all snowballed from there. Now I work for the conventions and they're just, I really enjoy doing Take This Place, not just because like it's fun to interact with our community, but I get to spend this little bit of time with two really amazing, inspirational women every other week who I wouldn't really get to spend time with otherwise. And it's just like, some people might see it as like, oh, Monday night, it's 2 hours. Don't you just want to go to bed? And
Whereas you're
it's like,
like, Monday
why?
night, yeah.
Monday night, woo! It's just, it's like there are no words to describe how much fun it is. We've got a great community, and like I'm learning so much. Like I don't always get the time to play games. I've, God bless her. Sarah took like 2 hours one day to show me how to work OBS and all of that. So,
Dr. Sarah
they're just
Hayes,
putting
also
all those tools in my
previous guest
toolbox.
on the show, by the way,
Yes,
excellent
I
human.
know. I don't know if there's anyone I can name drop who hasn't already been on your
It is what it is. What have you played on
Listen.
Take This Plays? So episodes go out on a Monday, so there's a 50% chance that this will go out on a day Take This Plays is. But like,
Oh my
what have you
goodness, what have
played? Obviously, for timey-wimey reasons, we're recording this early, so prior to release, or in like a couple of months, because I'm a very prudent host. But like, what have you played? How's that been? Anything like caught your eye? Anything you've played afterwards? Like.
we have played, oh my goodness. I've got a folder for this.
Be careful about opening your folders.
I know, right?
Memes
Except
everywhere.
I don't know how to organize my desktop. We
Oh
played
no.
Chicory for a couple weeks. Chicory was so much fun.
Nice.
we were playing Psychonauts 2 for a while after Psychonauts 2 won the Dr. Mark Klein Award.
Awesome.
Most recently, we just said whatever and we played some Sea of Thieves, which I'm awful at. Anything that requires me to like platform, mm-mm. So they carried me the entire way and I appreciate it so much.
So someone for Celeste, I've beaten the whole game, just saying. Like,
nice.
Like I ain't no speedrunner, but I've gotten all the strawberries, not golden, all the strawberries, all the hearts, so just saying.
Mm-hmm. I was super jelly because last episode, it was like the day I came home from PAX Unplugged, and I was just like, there's no way. And they played an escape room game.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never been so tempted to like hop on camera, like with my face erect and my hair up and my PJs and been like, let's go.
I'm a play.
yeah. Like I've already had my cough medicine, but it'll be fine.
If I start chatting nonsense, just me, it's fine.
Yeah. Just let me in. So
the irony being in an escape room, you're trying to get out.
I know, right? And then we play a lot of Jackbox games, which is a ton of fun. Although, again, sometimes I struggle with the which we say it's PG-13, Scar dies, but off screen. And as someone who has worked with kids for such a long time, I have the maturity level of like a 13-year-old boy.
Oh no.
So there's been a lot of like, this is the best thing I'm going to say. And then like, hold on, backspace, can't say that.
Yeah, I've like, not to flex again, but I've kind of slayed at a couple of Take This Place, Jackbox Party games. Like you do have to be like, no, I won't get away with saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or like, have you ever tried to like put something and like, because they have the setting on, like it's like, no, you can't say that, mate. Like,
yeah. I did set off Dr. B's blushometer several times. But there is one, and I'm probably going to get yelled at for bringing this up. Pre-stream, pre-Discord, I think. Oh, yeah, it was before we ever had a Discord. There was a Take This Volunteer Jackbox night, and it was no limits. And let's just say I think B has the t-shirt that you're gonna have to ask her about, but like there are things that you have to take to your grave, and that Jackbox night is going straight down with me.
Oh wow, okay. The forbidden, yep. The night we shall not discuss.
The night we shall not discuss. I'll tell you about it off stream, but
yes.
I think I would get blacklisted if I mentioned it to the public.
I mean, listen, there's some public don't need to know. And you know, there's an important thing with, like, a bunch of Take This volunteers having to hang out and, like, an official Take This event. There's a huge different thing. Because, you know,
when,
like, we went out for my birthday, everyone there was, like, Take This adjacent. But we weren't there in a Take This capacity. We were just going out for food.
Uh-uh.
Hashtag
exactly.
Birthday boy, you know? Like,
hey. And, you know, like, I hang out with the Take This crew regularly because we're just, like, well, I mean, you know, there are some folks who are local, and I think it's, like, part of the draw is that you're automatically just kind of an awesome person if you're someone who's involved.
I mean, when I was there, everyone there was an awesome person, so it tracks, makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is the example of, you know, how much we all vibe sometimes. Myself and two of the moderators were meeting up for the very first time. And it was over the summer a couple years ago. And we were like, let's do something nice. Let's, like, go to the Arboretum and take a walk. And we're there for 10 minutes. And we're hot and miserable. And we just look at each other. And we're like, so we should just go to the bar, right?
Nice.
It's like, yeah, it's time to go.
So I feel like we should regale the audience with that time we were at PAX East and tried to track down Snakey Bus.
Oh, yes! With Aaron.
This was an adventure. It was yes. a quest. It was Snakey
it was.
Bus.
It was, and if you've never played Snakey Bus, you really don't know what your soul is missing.
It fulfills a need that Maslow hadn't even thought of, and it's right at the top of that, you know, pyramid of needs.
And we went everywhere. We went to like PC. Well, no, we started off in like console play, and then we went to handheld. And I think we literally cheered out loud when we found it.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And you went on to play it many, many times on stream, if I recall.
It's so good. Snakey Bus, it just offers. So for those that don't know, Snakey Bus is the classic mobile game Snake, represented in 3D, but with more silliness as you pick up people and drop them off around real world geographic locations. One of their levels is in France, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It has a competitive multiplayer mode.
Did you ever play Taxi?
Yeah.
Because I loved Taxi. So I feel like Snakey Bus is if Snake and Taxi had a baby.
Yeah.
Like you got to pick them up, you got to drop them off, you got to get them to their location, and you crash into things, or not.
And try and avoid crashing into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If your bus stops moving, it's like that movie where, like, if the bus stops, like, the level ends. Like, but, like, the snake does comedically blow. Like, one of my Twitch clips is, like, at the end of a Snakey Bus level, and it you know, it goes, and there's just this corgi, and he just freeze frames. This corgi behind fire. could not keep playing. Bear start laughing. Like,
and, you know, it's such, like, a simple design, but it's so much fun.
You've not seen happiness until you've seen three people sat next to each other, socially distanced, masked up, playing Snakey Bus on an Xbox.
This
floor.
Is true. This is the way, you know?
Like that true happiness right there. And again, we're hyped to be doing it all again, what will be technically next month.
Ooh.
When
shoot,
this goes
I better
out.
Start cleaning.
But like, it's going to be cool. Gonna be cool.
It is.
I kind of like, again, I think with like the experience that I had with PAX last time, it felt like very like I didn't know anyone, everyone took me sort of like under their wing. It was nice, and there were so many people there that I was trying to desperately impress. Whereas like this time, like second coming feels like a bit more chill. Like I'm definitely gonna like, you know, try and get like, you know, in the Hope booth or something like that for Take This, like just, you know, put it like,
you know, I know someone who might be able to get you in.
Well, you know, I filled out the Wild Mind web form. Okay, to volunteer.
Excellent.
But like, you know, I'm going to be trying to be a bit less self-serving and you know, put a little bit more out when I go PAX this year.
Well, you know, it was your first PAX, and you know, part of it is putting yourself out there and networking and meeting people.
Well, like all so. This, like, you know, like out of the other my academic, you know, heroes and heroines, several of them were there. That was quite overwhelming.
It can be incredibly overwhelming. Not just the convention itself, but, you know, here are these people that you've idolized, and you're like meeting them in person for the first time, and everyone's wearing masks, and it's like, I mean, I'm personally as a teacher, I'm so bad with names. And when all you can see of a person is like from here up, I'm like, if everyone could just get super distinct hairstyles so I can learn your names that way.
I mean,
I would really appreciate
got you covered, fam.
Yes.
I mean, you're saying this to like, you know, a guy who's legally blind / visually impaired.
Yes.
Like I go by voices, and then all voices are muffled, rightly so. But like, you're like, sorry, can you please tell me who you are? Because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, am I gonna make myself an idiot because we've already met this weekend? Like, please just forgive me.
I on several occasions like saw someone that I had seen only on a panel and got them confused with someone else, like because I just knew them from the panel, and like they obviously panels are so much information, and this was like afterwards. I was like, oh, like weren't you on this? No, I was like, oh, okay. sorry, I'll see myself out.
Or the no, I swear, like I commented on that tweet you made about this, and they're like, yeah, no, that wasn't me. I'm like, I'll see myself out.
You're like, is that my ambulance phoning? I'll just leave.
Oh, I think I hear my mother calling.
Oh, I think I've left the iron on. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited for another round of PAX, and you know, hopefully I'll get to do the same things. Like, you know, get familiar with the expo floor and help a little bit more out. And I've heard, especially after Unplugged, your boy the Psychomancer might be going on more adventures.
Yeah, little man, who I do have to. I feel bad. I borrowed this bow tie from my coworker, and apparently I have to give it back at some
Aww.
Point. Well,
If we
it was
can't
a little
get if
certain.
we can't get like an official, you know, bow tie in time, I will bring one of my bow ties.
Oh, there are plans in the works.
Yeah, but well,
but
you know, I've threatened to bring little Chris. I'd take up space in my suitcase with little Chris, and he can wear a bow tie as well. Like,
excellent.
That won't fuel anyone's nightmares.
Well, it was a little serendipitous because I had this plan all along. Like, I'm gonna bring the Psychomancer with me. You know, I'm gonna take all these pictures of like, oh, look at him, he's experiencing the con. And then, you know, unfortunately, Dr. B was injured. And literally, we get in the car, it's B and myself, to drive to Philadelphia. And I look down, and there's the bow tie. And I was like, what if we put the bow tie on the doll? And it was just like.
And it was at that moment that Dr. B suffered his accident.
Well, that was before.
There were rumors on the Take This Discord that you put a hit out. Do you confirm or deny these rumors, Liz?
Listen, I can neither confirm nor deny where I was at that time. I will just say that Amanda started that rumor. I may have encouraged it.
Amanda, previous guest on the show.
Yes, so love her dearly. Absolutely hilarious. She messaged me, and she was like, wait a minute. She was like, I see what you did there. Taking out a hit? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I screenshot her message and shared it in the chat. And then it just took off.
You started your own rumor.
I started my own rumor about myself.
That's like you rolled a 20 on that charisma roll.
I really did. Because, you know, like, why not?
Why not? For those that don't know, there is a Psychomancer in the shot. You can see on the video version of the show at the top of my shelf. It sits there. He watches over us. There's him. There's a Caesar.
Yeah, now a collector's edition.
Like, I first thing. When, like, everything was open, I was like, I'm a spend some dollar on a Take This stand. I was like, they're going to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't already own it, I was like, yep. I was like, first thing was like, I want a plushie, though. I didn't know they were limited at the time, but I was like, I want a plushie.
No,
I'm not saying I flew over to PAX East just for a plushie. But I'm not going to deny that either.
Listen, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So...
You know, plushies, need them.
Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, like working with Take This, like...
Blessing and a privilege.
Honestly, yeah. And, you know, it's an amazing experience. And honestly, like, and I've said this to them, you know, it's made me a better person. And it's really made me a better teacher. And it's like, but how? Sometimes the students accuse me of putting on my therapist voice, and they're like, Fab, just stop.
Even though you're not a therapist.
Even though I'm not a therapist. They're like, we recognize those words. Okay, I'm sorry. But, you know, working with a mental health organization, you know, like, I've struggled with depression and anxiety all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've given me the opportunity to realize, like, it is, like, it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to be very upfront about when you're having a good day and when you're having a bad day. And that's something I very much carried into my classroom. You know, I, not to toot my own horn, but I have a reputation in my district for being good with, like, those kids.
Oh, okay.
The kids who are struggling.
The kids who have additional challenges that, like, we yes. decide not to provide any extra support to because it's their fault they have challenges, quote
right.
unquote.
You know, especially, like, the kids with anxiety, kids who are with social emotional issues, a lot of the queer population at school. You know, I've had parents request their kids be put in my classroom or that kids get moved into my classroom, because I've very much learned that transparency is the most important thing in the world. You know, especially we were going through a pandemic at such a critical time in these kids' development, and they come back to school and, you know, they're like, they're hot messes. I love them so much, but they're really hot messes. But I was too, you know, and particularly the last few years struggling with all of that. You know, I think I took like 10 mental health days last year at my job, and being upfront with the kids and saying, you know, like, I'm sorry I yelled yesterday. It had nothing to do with you, but I'm really struggling right now. You know, you need to, like, I understand that, you know, your attitude in class has nothing to do with me. And you have to sometimes understand that my attitude in class has nothing to do with you. We all have good days. We all have bad days. You know, we all have struggles that are not visible. And we need to acknowledge that in order to be successful and to just be caring human beings. You know, the other day, one of my classes is starting a unit on health and well-being. So the very first thing we did, we took a stress test, and we came up with a list of, these are the things that stress us out, in French, obviously. And I had all the students turn their backs to the whiteboard, and one by one, they wrote up, and, you know, so that they could do this anonymously, to write sentences about, like, this is what stresses me out. And it was a whole spectrum of my family, my friends, deadlines, school, grades, work. And, you know, I put stuff up there too. And I didn't have them talk about it. You know, we just turned and we looked at it for a moment, because, you know, I'm not psychic. I've got 90 kids that I deal with on the regular, and they have so much going on that I don't know about. But I think sometimes we all need that reminder that, like, everyone's struggling. It could be a big thing, it could be a bad thing, but that affects us in everything we say and do.
That, like, you know, I say a lot about, like, I like to post a clip when I'm promoting the episode and all this, like, try and get some, that was just exquisite. Put it in the Louvre. Absolutely amazing. I have a couple of points I want to track, though, with that. First thing is, yep. Absolutely go off, you queen. Let's go. Getting people transferred into your class. What a legend. Never in doubt. Love to see it. The second thing is, like, you know, the fact that you bother to sort of be vulnerable, I guess, and, like, give that mm-hmm. part of yourself over to the learners is amazing, because I think that does help, and it shows, like, that normality. And even drawing that line between with salt, to, you know, I remember when I started, like, you know, with my first proper job, if you will, quote unquote, was like, mm-hmm. what happens outside of work shouldn't affect you in work. You got to get that happy face on because you're in customer service. It's just so wrong. It's like, oh yeah, I have to be mm-hmm. a completely different entity. That's not healthy. It's just not.
No.
I also think that, so I'm like, you know, I started my PhD in the pandemic. That, you know, that's had an effect on us as a cohort. I've seen, like, I've taught students who missed their, like, your college, as we would say in the UK, like 16 to 18 education, was all online. They hadn't sat exams, mm-hmm. like, almost some of them ever, because of their birthdays, they missed online exams in GCSEs and stuff. And then you see that translate with, like, their behavior and their engagement and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then last thing, I think, I joked before when I was like, I teach, like, a stand-up comedian. But the thing I try and do is, like, try and speak to them. And, like, you know, just the other day, mm-hmm. I chatted to a student who was really a bit more, you know, chirpy, engaged a bit more energy. So I just, you know, took that five seconds it took, just sat next to her, quiet, was like, just want to check you're okay, you don't seem yourself.
Mm-hmm.
She'd just been out the night before. She's, you know, 18 and at uni, okay? She'd had a rough night. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, drink plenty of water. If you need a snack, make sure you have a snack. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about being willing to do that. It's easier sometimes not to, because you're like, oh, if something was said, you'd have to send an email and signpost and all this. But, like, being willing to do that. And I do think, I agree, obviously there's rules, regulations around this, but for me being part of Take This, I definitely feel much more empowered in doing that. Like, even as someone who, like, I'm researching mental health, but, like, just knowing that there are other people that are like, yeah, this is a dead normal thing to do, follow your sort of, like, individual policies and stuff, but, like, don't be afraid to check in. Like, I'm always really transparent with them about how I'm feeling. Like, I've had student feedback and I've reported that back saying, I've had it, I hear you, I want to improve, or thank you for the positive stuff, you know? Because it's important. Like, you there's an important line to be drawn between, you know, teacher and student, but, like, beyond that, like, you're all people.
And I think so many times that we're so concerned with how we're being perceived that just common empathy is left at the door. You know, one of the things, you know, I taught middle school for years and years and years, and the very first day of school, we were always told, whatever you do, like, don't be alone with a student. Don't touch the students. Like, don't ever put yourself in that position. And I, in the past few years, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, kids need a hug sometimes. You know, there's nothing wrong or devious about it. You know, sure, I have that privilege because I am, you know, a female teacher. But, like, if a kid asks me for a hug, I'm not going to say no. You know, I have students who, like, I'll walk by them in the hallways and they'll just put their arms out like a little kid. And I'm like, yeah, like, you need a hug, bring it in. Like, sure, like, I'm a French teacher. My overall job is to teach them French. But, you know, like, the root of being a teacher is, you know, being a role model and teaching them how to be adults and how to be compassionate human beings. And, you know, I see that as my job above everything else. Like, you know, like I said, like, fuck it. They never learn a word of French in their life. That's fine. But if I teach them how to appreciate themselves and appreciate everyone else, like, okay, sometimes we just sit and, you know, some days I say, like, I don't feel like working today, guys. Let's watch Beauty and the Beast. And we watch Beauty and the Beast. You know, sometimes they've just come out of a brutal math test. And I'm like, you know what? Like, that's fine. Like, let's color. You know, you have to be willing to meet them. And we, I don't want to say that we coddle kids, but we forget that they are capable of these complex emotions. And we need to not sweep that aside. We need to treat that as well as everything else.
There is a duality, I think, in, I'm going to say with younger people, because I haven't taught anyone younger than 18, right? I have siblings and I know, you know, I've met younger people. They exist. They exist in the world.
I've heard rumors.
I know people who have younger people and stuff. But I think there's this duality of, like, understanding that they experience these complex things, but they are children and don't know how to express them or approach them. Because, like, you know, you said they're like, you know, kids sometimes need a hug. I sometimes need a hug, right?
Like,
there's a huge difference between the kid being like, Liz, I could do it a hug, and, like, you know, teachers hugging kids without their permission or consent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Huge difference there.
Oh my gosh, no, never.
Yeah, exactly, right? But, like, it's sometimes the hardest thing is trying to explain complex things, like feelings, in a way that anyone, even yourself, can understand. And I think there's this kind of shift with, like, kids these days, they have the internet, they must know everything, they're so switched on. You know, that's my, like, old, like, straight white able guy voice. like, you know, like, old, like, yeah, so they must know everything. It's not the case. Like, just, you can have access to knowledge, but the true skill is applying, understanding, and processing it, right? That's why, like, you know, you have human experiences. Like, it's that age old, like, you know, like, the Good Will Hunting, like, you can't learn everything from a book, you know, kind of thing. I love books, and I think you can learn a lot from books, but, like, something our best experienced firsthand.
No, most definitely.
I feel like I've done that twice now, where I've gotten this, like, semi-impassioned rant, and, like, this is your episode of the podcast. Like, this is also stream. Like, this is about you.
This is our episode. Because, you know, like, honestly, when, you know, not to bring it back to, like, the Take This Fan cast. But
call that
like one of the greatest things that has come out of Take This is like our friendship.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I can't say up until we had become friends, like someone had publicly admitted they napped to the sound of my stream.
Yes, I do. I love, you know, tuning into my friends' streams and just taking a nap. I believe there is a clip of that circulating.
There is. It was brought to my attention. It was incredible.
I'm pretty sure I tagged you.
Yeah. And then, like, a few people in chat, like, popped off and said nice things about me, and I was like, this is a great day.
Like, yeah. But, you know, who would have thunk that, you know, a year ago I'd be, like, such great friends with some random dude across the pond who, like...
Some albino scouter.
I know. But, I mean, like, legit, you know how much I love to... Like, we agreed, like, our goals in life is to just, like, blow each other up. Mm-hmm. And to support each other. But, like, if you have not had the opportunity to become friends with Chris, you need to become friends with Chris. Because, hands down, like, one of the funniest, nicest guys. Like, you need a friend, and he is there. You need someone to make incredibly inappropriate jokes with. And he is there.
Okay, so I wasn't going to mention this, but I feel like we should, for the sake of transparency...
Is this our timesheet?
Yeah, one of our long-running jokes, right, was like, one of us, usually me, hands off, would say something vaguely inappropriate, and we'd be like, okay, that's 2 hours of additional training. It's been a long-running scorecard, right? Like,
yes. I think at this point, I've lost count of how many hours we have.
I feel like you've accrued a lot more recently than me.
Yeah. I mean, I have fully grown into my role as Salty Mod because I just love the tea. What can I say?
Tea that is like so hot, you bang your tongue on it. Like, it's just lovely.
Yes. Yes. Literally, I had to wait to drink my tea earlier. It was so hot and fresh.
And like, it's been so cold lately. You just need the tea to stay warm.
You really do. And, you know, it was just great to find a friend who you can have that level of inappropriateness with.
Yeah.
And like, I know if I send you something at night, like the comments I'm gonna have when I wake up in the morning are just gonna brighten my day. No matter how nice or inappropriate they are.
I think it's again, I think I've said this on the show before, but I'm never gonna tire of saying it. The beautiful thing about Take This for me is that I've never stumbled onto a link online and felt like so at home. You know, the people that are there just seem so welcoming. Again, like, you know, we've said it a couple of times, but like you and a couple of other people took me out for my birthday. I'd never been to the US before. I traveled alone, like, and I felt so looked after, so cared for. Like, I've said it before publicly, but like, I was so sad the morning I left, because I was just like, wow, I've met these amazing people. It was legitimately a life-changing experience. That gets banded around a lot. It gets overused as an expression. But, like, this was absolutely huge. And there was a sadness in, like, yo, stepping away from people that you felt so connected with on that level.
So what you're saying is we are getting matching tattoos in March.
Yes.
Yes!
Only if it's of a purple dragon, though.
I mean, I'm down.
There we go. Sorted.
We're gonna go on our asses, forget though, right?
We're gonna forget that we've said this, and this will go out, and then someone will mention this in the comments, and we'll be like,
"Yep, like, whoops."
So yeah,
amazing.
But no, I mean, Take This, great people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that because it's a fan cast.
I know. Right? Remember that time you had to change the name of your podcast?
No. No, it's always been psyched to be with you. I don't know what you're on about.
Yeah, a little subtitle.
Part of Blind Psyche is, it's fine. It's never been anything else.
Who do you have left? Have you talked to Dr. Crevichet? Or I don't know if she's the doctor. Have you talked to Eve? Because Eve is amazing.
Eve Crevichet, the big cheese of Take This, is on the list. Yes. I would love to have Eve on the show.
Excellent. She's so much fun.
And I mean, anyone who's willing. You know what I mean? That's how this show works. Like, I've had, you know, previous guest Amanda, one of the other Take This mods. Great human, great episode. You know,
yeah, amazing hair.
Amazing hair, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I think amazing accents and amazing hair are two of the core ingredients of this show. Obviously, if you're listening, you don't necessarily get this. But just have a little flick through the YouTube playlist. Follow the Linktree link, wherever this is. And you just have a look at them thumbnails. A lot of them are me laughing or making a grand gesture. It's quite funny.
Mm-hmm. It's a handsome bunch, if I must say so myself.
Well, I think the guests that I have all have handsome souls, you know?
Oh, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not all of them, actually, you know. See, that's what it means to be a friend with someone. You can razz them a little bit, it'd be fine.
Yes, you have to be able to.
Okay, so I'm conscious of time because we literally could just do this for hours because that's what we do.
I know.
Let's talk about you rolling dice, okay?
Okay.
So obviously for timey-wimey reasons, we're actually recording this in December, okay? Okay. You recently rolled dice with some pretty heavy hitters. Heavy rollers? Is that way?
I did.
Heavy rollers of dice. I was part of this emotional, spiritual journey up until rolling the dice, okay? Let's give us the tea on that.
Ooh.
So we'll start at the tip of the iceberg.
Okay, so the tip of the iceberg. So there is this amazing organization called Jasper's Game Day. And they regularly basically host in our circle, celebrity D&D games.
Yeah, so I don't think like, you know, Al Pacino, like Game Awards, like Al Pacino ain't rocking up to play D&D, but like TTRPG celebs, like previous guest on the show, Jennifer Kretschmer, for example.
Hey!
People of that, who are professional TTRPG people.
Yes. And so they were doing a holiday auction, and I messaged you because I was like, oh my God, Chris, there's a table with some amazing people. B. Dave Walters, Lauren Urban, Josh Simons is DMing. Like, I'm going to go for it. What's my budget? What's a budget? And
I do a lot of financial planning. I have an Excel spreadsheet, you know. Like,
yes, I don't.
I believe, so I'm going to quote you, my budget for dice is bigger than my budget for food.
Yes, that is a regular quote. I tell my students that all the time. There is a giant display case right here.
Just out like of shot, but we know it's there.
Just out of shot. If my house is ever on fire, it's the cat under one arm in this display case under the other.
Nice. Wait, why is the display case not just fireproof? You'll save yourself having to carry it?
Because it's from IKEA.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it should be, but...
I also feel like this episode particularly, like, the show is slightly self-referential, but, like, this episode's really bad. I'm just a lot more...
I know.
Previous show guest. Walters.
Let me name drop.
You won't know this, because it's the episode before this that hasn't gone out yet, but, like, Amanda asked me, who would I love to have on the show? And I was like, I'll pick someone I don't think I could make happen. And I said, B. Dave Wallace. Like, you know, all the dots connect somehow.
And, so, you know, we were, online auction.
Budget online auction.
And it was, you know, like, I've been, and I told you about this, like, the holidays are a really hard time for me. Just for various reasons. And I was like, I need to pick me up, you know, and along comes this auction and I'm like, oh, I don't know. And you're like, do it, just do it.
Chaos way, by the way, not just like, do it. But I was like, no, you can do this. You totally should own this. Why not?
Yeah.
Cause I believe at one point you were like, oh, I don't think like I could. And I was like, don't give me this business.
You know, but you know, a lot of like, who am I to be at a table with these people? Which is, you know, is not a great attitude to have, but we all fight with those little earworms. And it comes down to, like, minutes. And I'm frantically texting you, watching the auction, like, click to an end. And I won. Like, holy crap. Like, I won this auction. I'm gonna be in this game. Like, I gotta go buy new dice.
And for like context on my part, like I was like on the phone to like you know, a friend of mine, like and like I was on the phone, it was like 1 a.m. and I was like, I've got to stay up for this. I need to know how this ends. Yep. I can't sleep until I know. I was messaging you, like it was an emotional event.
It really was. And you know, like it's not the first, like, you know, not to toot my own horn. It's not the first charity stream I've done.
Right.
But like I thought I was gonna be way more nervous going into it. Because it's like, you know, here are these people that I've admired for so long. But like it was just so chill. And everyone was so like, you know, when you're playing a TTRPG with strangers, there's always that period of like people talk over each other and, oh wait, you're gonna speak, I'm gonna speak, who's gonna speak? And you know, maybe it is because these are people who play, you know, who make a living playing TTRPGs. There was just like a really nice natural flow to it. And you know, everyone's riffing off each other. You know, one of the players was this amazing human being called Persephoroth, who like I had to keep muting myself because I was laughing so hard. She was just absolutely amazing. And like when it was over, I was like, wait a minute, are you serious? Like, we're done?
The greatest moment.
I was actually, and you never said anything about this. I gave Chris a shout out. I was like, you know, I just really need to thank my buddy Chris. You know, he encouraged me to put my face out there. And the man himself,
B. Dave Walters,
tells me, you did great, honey. And immediately I'm like, clip.
Yeah, not because I got a shout out. Clip because B. Dave Walters. Like, clip.
Yeah.
I knew you weren't watching.
Yeah. I knew you weren't watching. But you know, like Dave Walters told me I'm really good at D&D. And you then being the great friend you are, looped it for me. And it's now the ringtone on my cell phone. I mean, I have no shame. I don't know if you've realized this about me, but I embrace all of my foolishness. And oh, there's a screaming cat. I hope you can't hear her.
I cannot hear the screaming cat. I'm also just going to apologize. Excellent. My mic seemed to... OBS is having a little bit of a hissy fit, and my mic visual wasn't responding, but I'm going to assume it still picked up the audio. I'm going to just mentally timestamp this to check it. It's fine.
Okay.
It was mostly me just laughing at the fact that I did indeed loop the B-Dave Walters audio.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want, I could lay it over, like, a sick beat. Like, really make it, like, a ringtone.
God, yes.
I have a music mixing program that I designed, like, say, the theme tune for the podcast on. Or the opening theme tune for my stream.
And then one day, if I ever start streaming, that'll be the opening to my...
Well, I mean, when you're not streaming for Take This, by the way.
But... Yes.
So, a question on
that.
We will get back to the dice, but I have a question. So,
okay.
This is going to make no sense, but...
Okay.
How does it feel to be... What could be someone's potentially first interaction with Take This? Because if you're on Twitch and you're just looking at a stream, you're there hosting it. Because then that might be a gateway to the website or something like this. Mm-hmm. The tweets go out that it's going live. Like... Before you've gone on the, you know, about website page where you're also listed as a mod / the host of Take This Place. I'm also on there, by the way, just flexing. But like potentially being that like first interaction, like that must be pretty cool, right? To be chosen to be that person.
It is. And you know, I'd like to think it's because, you know, I've proven that I really believe in this organization. And there have been, you know, several times in the past where I thought I misstepped, and I am the very first person to admit it. You know, if like, I don't want to get into like deep specifics, but at PAX East last year, There was a misunderstanding, and I was just like, oh my God, like, what have I done? Like, this is absolutely terrifying, you know? And the very first thing I did is I hopped on Discord into the, you know, hidden chat, and I was like, I need to report what just happened. This is what happened. This is everything that's going on. Of course, then I went and I found Dr. Sarah Hayes and Dr. Rachel Cohort and like cried like a little. I was just like so stressed out, and I was like, I don't want you guys to disappointed in me. And I think, you know, not to say that like I've done my time, but I think I've really managed to prove that I can be a good representative, and you know, I know what we stand for, I know what I can and can't say. And the more the merrier. Like, if I can be the person to bring someone into this organization, like, yes. Like, that, it's powerful. You know, the stories, especially, you know, this last Unplugged, we had so many people come up to the booth and share their personal stories. And, like, I cried. I cried twice because, you know, the stories that people had to tell about how Take This changed their lives, like it was absolutely amazing. And to know that like I have the smallest part in that, and that there are people out there really making an impact, like it's absolutely beautiful.
Sorry, I was taking a minute to let that sink in, but
I
whoa. Whoa.
mean, like literally like crying because what these people had to say and like the journeys they've been through, like.
It's a thing, and I think the beautiful thing about Take This, and like they know, you know, they acknowledge they're not the first, you know. They are no longer the sole video game mental health charity catering to the game industry, game players and content creators, but they were the first, right? So like it says a lot that, you know, they, you know, it's almost not surprising that when you have that, you know, Venn diagram of people who play games and you know, experience mental health challenges and exist in the content sort of sphere and game sphere as for work, there's a huge intersection there, right? So it's almost unsurprising that it's had this huge effect. I mean, I know the 10-year celebration is ongoing for 12 months from November 22. Dr. B said that at the end of during his episode, and you know, one of the things is going to be like, you know, stories of people, and I shared one and things like this, and it's just incredible. It's incredible to think that an org that is, you know, doing what it's doing is just having such a huge impact to people, and it's amazing to see. Okay, two, backflip a little bit. Rolling dice. Well, that game, what was it like? Tell us about the other dice you roll. What color were the dice that you rolled? Like,
So I was using three sets of dice, all, you know, handcrafted small vendors, because that's like my gig. Like,
oof.
that's, well, not my gig, but like, that's, I really appreciate the people who turn dice into a fine art. I didn't roll great. I
Ah, the
did
dice.
great. It was my
Cruel.
first time. It was my first time playing a rogue. So I did some great sneak attack damage, but my initiative rolls were bunk, which, you know, it happens. And I was playing an owlin named Guff,
I'm
and
familiar with this accent. This voice.
yes. And you know, he talks kind of like this, and he really just wanted to meet a real human kid, but it didn't happen. So maybe next time. But it was just like, it's like sitting down and playing with a bunch of your friends. So, which
But they were
with the
celebrities.
pandemic, and I know. I mean, I'm not one to like. I've never had the personality where I just absolutely like geek out over someone, but to be able to play with people who have really like risen above, and you know, for me it was like a big ego boost. I fit in. I didn't make a fool of out of myself. You know, I love D&D. I love playing TTRPGs, and it's something I want to do more of. And knowing that like these people had fun playing with me, like that's just like a really great ego boost, and like I'll admit I really needed it at the
It's pretty,
so
there's no other way of saying it. It's an awesome thing, and I think well deserved on your part. I think, again, kind of, remove that imposter syndrome to a degree or two. But again, it's this type of conversation. If there's a difference between fawning over someone and, that being like borderline inappropriate because parasocial relationships are a thing, and then like appreciating what someone does, and charity auction or no,
Oh my
being in a
gosh,
space
yeah.
to facilitate, like, getting to share that moment with them, right? Like, and the fact that it all went well is a testament to your ability to handle that moment, right?
I work well under pressure when I need to. When you are forced to be the only adult in the situation, when you've got a room of 30 kids and there's a giant spider crawling across the floor, or Johnny just projectile vomited across the carpet. Yeah, it's part of teaching. I can step up to the plate when I need to, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So you'd be like, well, what we would say in football is you're an excellent super sub. Like, bring you off the bench and you're going to be fine, but just like, you can't play the whole 90 minutes, like all the time. Like,
Send me in for 2 minutes. I'm gonna elbow someone in the face, but I'm gonna get the job done.
nice. Okay. Solid.
Yes.
Solid. Okay. That makes sense.
Although I will say my big strategy, and this is so awful, I played football as a kid growing up. And I was awful. I was awful at it. The amount of injuries I came out of those games. I just remember one game. I was like, this is it. I'm a forward. I've got the ball. And I see like the defender coming at me. And I'm like, don't get too close. I have poison ivy. And I'm like holding my arms out, like, I will rub this against you.
Be careful making that gesture.
Yeah. Hey, that fist was close.
Oh,
And that and good night.
end
I've done
episode.
my job. Yep. Sensors just popped up. But like that was my big defensive play, was like, I'm gonna give you poison ivy if you get too close. So not afraid to get dirty when the job needs to get done.
How did that end? Like, did the defender stop, and like, what happened?
Oh dear God, no, I probably tripped over my own feet.
Okay, fair. Just checking. No, I love playing football. I played like left back of defense, like left side of defense. Such a good game, very much enjoyable. It's a big deal, big deal. Also, going back
Is.
to TTRPG and
Yeah, sorry.
so no, just like I so I first time I properly played D&D, I played a half orc rogue, and like, oh man, I hit level 4, I think it was, and I got to pick my roguish subclass. So I was like an assassin, and like I was like rolling stealth rolls, and then because I was a half orc, you got sneak attack with savage attack, so it was like an extra d6, and like if you haven't been seen, you're an assassin, it's a guaranteed crit. You're like, oh, just like, I think I did like 50 damage once from one arrow. It's just like, yeah,
Oh,
so
it's
good.
great. I will say though, paladins are always my like go-to. I love playing paladins, and the damage you can stack on a paladin with your smites, oh, it's beautiful.
I was also playing a dragonborn cleric who is a psychomancer. That was fun. That was
Ooh.
fun.
I have not had a chance to play the Psychomancer class. I feel as if that's something we should throw together for East. It was just a bunch of us playing as like a
Psychomancers
group of
only.
psychomancers. Yes.
That would be a neat challenge though. All cleric
It
healers.
would. How do we get the job done when we're all just so darn nice?
I mean, clerics can still deal some damage though. They're
Oh
not short
yeah.
of damage dealer.
No.
And like, I was a dragonborn, so I also had like dragon breath and stuff, like, pretty cool.
I can't remember what I played in the game we played together. I have a literal. Is it up there? No, it's up on the shelf. I can't grab it. It says binder full of women, but the women is crossed out, and I wrote characters.
I have several questions. Where do you find the binder that says binder full of equipment?
So I mean, I wrote it myself. I can't remember where the meme came from.
All right.
Do you know the binder full of women meme?
Nope.
Oh, so this one? Okay. So it's from Mitt Romney, who's an American political figure. And he referenced having ring binders with resumes from female applicants. And he referred to it as binders full of women. Like, he literally said, I had binders full of women.
I can't.
Welcome to Massachusetts.
Oh, my days.
So I literally wrote on the binder. Hold on. Now this has to make an appearance.
She's stretching. She's going to make it work.
Excuse me while I rudely go off screen. So there is.
It does indeed say binder full of women crossed out characters. That is
characters.
Amazing.
Yes. That's and so, you know, amazing. You never know when you need to pull up a character for what is this? Dungeon World. It's a lot of Dungeon World. I play a lot of Dungeon Worlds. D&D, some Capers, Masks, City of Mist.
Good Strong Hands.
Good Strong Hands.
Have you ever played anything with the 2D20 system?
I have not.
So I like have GM'd some Dune Adventures in the Emporium for a couple of friends. You know, the handbook is like 80 pages of lore. Then the rules, and like I've read through the books twice, so I know all the lore. So I was like very acquainted to GM a game in the universe. But it's a really nice, it's a nice introductory system as someone who's only played D&D and that, because you're only ever adding two numbers together. You have like drives which are like help you role play, because it's like, well, this is what your character would do, so that helps motivate your action choices, and then you're picking stats like, you know, battle or movement. So it's very, like, neat. However, the rolling mechanism is inversed. So, like, one is, like, you know, critical success. 20 is a complication. I won't name names, but they'll know who they are if they listen to this. One of my friends has subsequently developed the name Complication King because they were so good at rolling 20s.
Oh, no.
They'd be a great D&D player, but...
No, I've played a lot of D6 games. I'm looking up at my shelf. I did just recently get Dialect, which is a game. It's literally called a game about languages and how it dies.
I think I've heard of that actually.
Yes.
I think I've heard about it on a project I'm not going to name on this podcast because I don't know if I can mention it.
And then one I've had forever that I kickstarted that I'm dying to play is called Good Society.
Oh,
it's a Jane Austen based RPG.
Oh,
and there is an alternative rule set that actually allows you to play as an epistolary, so literally writing letters and mailing them to everyone. Which, like, I love writing letters.
Isn't that basically just like what's the show, Bridgerton?
Yes, very very much so. Like, there are all these rumor mechanics. It's so good. I secretly, not so secretly, because I tell everybody this, I wish I lived in a Jane Austen novel. Like, I want a fainting couch. I want
darling, you don't own a chaise longue.
What? I mean, I want courtly wit.
Courtly wit.
Yes. But yeah, so that's
in another group chat I'm in, I refer to myself as a chaos jester. Like, I just say chaotic things and make jokes.
I mean, I'm a troll. I will freely admit it. So...
Incite chaos, make jokes. That's me. That's don't take part in the chaos. I'm legally not reprehensible, but I incite chaos.
No, I never insult people. I just point out facts. Okay?
Just spitting facts, friend.
Yes. I've got the receipts.
Yeah. So TTRPG is super fun. Love that.
It's great, so much fun.
I really enjoy it. What is your favorite element of a TTRPG? Because I love the funny voices and being a character. I enjoy that the most.
I love role playing. Just like I'm one of those people where like I will cry at a table if I have like if we get into it and my character is going through something, I will literally sit there in tears and I love every single minute of it. You know, it's cathartic sometimes.
Have you ever seen I Am the IT Crowd?
I've seen early episodes.
There's an episode in season, I think it's, oh, test of my knowledge, I think three, where like Jen ends up having to host these businessmen who are like, two of them are called John, and like the classic, like, lads, quote unquote. And like for entertainment, they join Roy and Moss's D&D game. And Moss is like playing them. One's like a bunny with like a magical bracelet and stuff. And they all get into it, but then randomly interjected into that, Moss helps Roy get over his previous breakup by role playing the romance he had with this princess and getting to say goodbye. And it's like,
Oh.
I wanted to say goodbye, Dark Harden. And he's like, don't do this, Moss. And he's like, you need to say goodbye. And then he does, and then he starts crying. And then like the guys are like, that's really beautiful. Like, just so good.
Oh man.
But you can
No, and
have,
just
but you can
like,
genuinely have emotional moments like that in games, right? That's
oh
the aim of
yeah.
it. Like,
Oh yeah. And you know, like cracking jokes the next minute, but like I don't
so
know. I loved theater as a kid, so.
last time we played, we were like rounding off a campaign, and basically, rude jokes started taking place, and
Always.
innuendos in a very sort of British carry-on kind of way. So every time someone would make one, we end, there was a yellow card system, but then everyone was at it. Like, so an example, like a female character being played by a lady, like, they were taking on this assailant, this spy. She's like, yeah, I walk in and I start talking to her, and she goes, because I wanted some girl on girl time. And just like that level of like, she tried to deliver it seriously, but we all knew she was taking the piss. Just rapturous laughter. Like, it was so good. Like,
I have a group of friends, and our friend Lauren used to DM for us, and we would joke. Lauren has like this long, beautiful hair, and just like the greatest guy ever. And like, you know, you're like we're similar. Like flirting with your friends is so much fun. And I made like a potential love interest for my character when we were designing the world. And I was accused of purposefully doing this just so that I could like flirt with the DM a bit more. And I was like, yeah, so what? Like,
I'm what fam? What are you gonna do?
yeah, like I don't have a problem with that.
Hey, if it's everyone consents at your table, it's all good.
Exactly. So.
I don't tell people what to do in their house or at their table.
It was great.
I am conscious of time because again, we could literally
Yes.
do this for hours. I want to be respectful of your time. We talked about
I'm
you
going to
doing a
go get
lot
a
of stuff.
flu test after this, so.
Big action on this show.
Yes. Yes.
I'll just write in the show notes like what the result of the flu test was. Like, just like
I know, right?
the drama for people that need to know.
Yes. Yes.
So we talked about like your sort of the way you incorporate your personality into teaching. Do you do any sort of TTRPG stuff in any other capacity, or is there anything that you'd like to do that you're not
So
aspirational?
I've been running an after school D&D club for 4 years now. So initially playing with middle schoolers, which whoo, murder hobos. And now with high schoolers, and as part of that, I've also joined my coworker and I co-advise a games club. So one day a week we play D&D, and the other day we play board games. And you know, they bring their computers to play computer games. We hook a console up to the projector. So like eat, breathe, sleep, teaching and games.
Nice.
So, and it's a lot of fun. Kids, they approach things much differently in games than I think sometimes, you know, like they're just so creative and just So here's the example I always share. It was my very first year running this club, and I had a group of girls, which was just like amazing. And one of my students, and she's a senior now at the high school. And I told her once that I referenced her on a podcast, because I brought it up another time. And she was like, "Are you serious?" I was like, "Yeah." And you know, like these kids take ownership of their characters in such interesting ways. And so she was a cleric of Timora. And we are at this pivotal moment. And, you know, we are looking at a TPK. And she's like, "Well, I'm going to reach out to my God for help." And I'm like, "Okay."
Can you just explain TPK for us?
Total party kill, where everybody's about to die.
Okay,
and, you know, sad face. And I'm like, okay, this is the moment. This interaction could make or break your world. How are you going to reach out to your God? And she just takes a moment and looks me dead in the eyes and goes, "What's poppin', Timora?"
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'? And I'm like, I don't know if I should have you roll with advantage or disadvantage. But it was just like that one little moment just brought me like such great joy, to the point where, you know, I'm still referencing it like 4 or 5 years later. It's great. Playing with kids is great. And you know, just seeing them get into it.
What, you know, what was the resolution for that? Did the party survive? Was it the end?
Oh, they survived. I believe she ended up rolling like a natural 19. Oof. So, I mean, they were level 2. They were playing Lost Mines. So, which is the introductory adventure from the start, from the original starter set from D&D 5e. So,
I think I've got the starter set. I think. No, I had the starter set, and then I've got like the one that has the ice adventures in.
Icewind Dale, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a box.
Or
I have
Spire
stuff.
Of the Ross.
I have a
things.
Lot of a lot more D&D stuff than I have time. I have a shelf of board games. You'll love this. I made an Excel of board games that I own the other day to help my friends filter it out. It's like I uploaded it like as an online doc, and I was like, "You can filter by that." Like I gave it like 2 type words, like party or whimsical, you know, that kind of thing. I like the number of players, the average game time, so that when people come over, we can like they've already had a
oh
look at what there is to play.
I love my friends. They will not play board games with me. I convinced them to play Munchkin once.
Oh, I
and
love
there was
Munchkin.
a literal tabletop toss at the end. My brother came in with like one last card to hit those 10 points, and there, oh, it was it there. I thought fists were gonna fly. So.
Have you ever played Sheriff of Nottingham?
I have not. No, have I? This is where I'm a visual learner.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I need to see Sheriff of not the Disney, the board game. No, I have not.
Okay, I mentioned this because coincidentally, I actually had a couple of friends over from like you who I met in university. And like we actually played a couple of board games, and we played like Mario Kart and Doom, like 4-player split screen. And it was like, I felt like I was back in the 90s. It was great. Yeah. And like it was so nice, and we played Sheriff of Nottingham, which for those that don't know is like it's about accruing items and getting them past the sheriff, like for trade reasons. But it's all about like deception and what's in the bag, mate. It's just 4 breads. I'm not sneaking contraband.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's very fun.
I think I watched whatever the board game equivalent of an actual play is of
a board
this
play
game before. I know, right?
So it's fun, like, when you're playing with friends, because, like, you think you know when they're lying or when they're not. Like, it's super fun. It's super fun. And we also played a game called Heroes of Barcadia, which is great. So it, like, has a lot of TTRPG elements and a few, like, elements from Munchkin. But you flip tiles to find stuff. But the kind of, the gimmick is that your character is a glass or plastic cup, and your health is your drink of choice. As you take damage, you have to drink. Like,
ooh.
So that was fun.
I can imagine that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just that was. I also won, so very happy. Like, my dice rolling did not let me down, and they're all like hilariously like drink related puns, like you have a slaymaid instead of a mermaid, you know, stuff like that.
We've been playing in Games Club Muffin Time.
Oh, Muffin Time is amazing.
Yes.
Love Muffin Time. It's so silly.
It is so silly. And the amount of times we've all gotten angry trying to trap other people. Because one of the great dynamics of this game is you have these trap cards that you lay in front of you,
True,
and
like Yu-Gi-Oh style. I'm gonna place down my trap
yeah,
card.
I've no idea what that means.
Get out of this episode.
And there are different actions that trigger it, but it can be things like somebody plays a card with the name baby in it, or like somebody is sarcastic, or
Get someone to say hello to
convince someone
you.
to leave the room.
Yeah.
And we get nasty, but
Nice. Muffin
it's
Time
such a
is
fun game.
really good.
Yeah.
It's the kind of game that, like, I think it benefits from being a physical card game, but I think you could probably get a really good digital equivalent. Like, I don't think it'd be hampered by it too much.
Well, it gets tricky because one of the trap cards is, put this card on your forehead, and if nobody says anything about it before your next turn. So
Yeah, that's true.
there would have to be adaptions done, but it's super easy to learn how to play. It reminds me a lot of Flux, but is a little more user-friendly. I think Flux gets very confusing
Yeah, so actually,
sometimes.
a fun fact, we mentioned Flux on the last episode with Amanda.
No way.
But like, I think I play Flux with a few people, and it kind of bends their mind a little bit that the rules change at their
Yeah.
will. Like, that kind of can, like, it takes a little while to adapt to that.
So yeah, Muffin Time and Unstable Unicorns are sort of our go-tos.
Nice. So again, I'm actually really conscious of time.
Yeah,
I've overstepped my blabbering. So two of my blue sky questions I'd like to ask before we wrap up.
yep.
If you had no limitations, access to resource, people, money, whatever, what's one project or thing you'd like to do?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow.
You get a sheet with all the questions. You get a rap sheet with all the questions on.
I know, but like my brain doesn't work very well.
Brain go burr.
Yes. I mean, do I want to be self-serving or
It's whatever you want. It's an ultimate blue sky project.
ultimate blue sky?
Make your own
Peace
TTRPG
on
that's
Earth.
played only in French.
Oh my God, I have not had a chance to do that. That would be so much fun. I think I would, if I were to do all that to make a TTRPG show,
Okay.
just a rotating cast of characters to like allow people the opportunity who don't necessarily have the opportunity to like rise and shine.
Nice. Okay. That's a good answer. 'Cause like it's access to resources, so you have like full editors and you have production
Yeah.
value, miniatures and all that like that. Okay, that's a neat idea. I like that. Okay. Is there anyone that you would like to give a shout out to who's like an inspiration or someone you think could deserve a bit more applause or anything like this?
Oh my goodness. Besides you?
You could say me, but this episode's been so referential already,
I
self-referential. Like
know.
that would be a bit much. I'm not going to stop you though. It's your answer to the question.
Oh my goodness. It's like, I mean, can we just like worship take this a little bit more?
We can.
But seriously, like there's so many people out there who have been just so welcoming and kind, and like I don't know if there's enough time to list them all.
That's why you gotta try and pick like one, maybe at most two.
Okay, two, I'll say are my unplugged crew. Travis, not Justin, from D&T, which he'll understand.
I mean, I
It's
get
a
that
really bad.
reference.
And the always wonderful Dr. Elizabeth Kilmer. We hung out all of Unplugged and they were so much fun. Also, just a shout out to my local game store, Alpha Omega Hobby, who are so incredibly generous and have made donations to my school game club. They've always been supportive when I've approached them about advertising Take This stuff. They're posting something about the Take This Riot Games vote in their Discord today. You'll understand that reference from 2 months ago. But like, yeah, local game stores always deserve your love because they'll show you that love right back.
True story. True story. One of my local, it's a game store, but it's also a cafe. It's like a board game cafe. So you
I
go,
love board
you
game
play a
cafes.
game, and like, yeah, you pay for the hours. Super nice. Previous guest on the show, owner of said game cafe, Rachel Button, way back in season one. But like, it's great. It's a really good place. One of my favorite places. Definitely, it's one of those places that if someone visits, I'm like, we have to go.
Yes. Can I give one more shout out?
You've already exceeded the limit, so sure, why not?
So, Chris has an amazing podcast. Some friends of mine have just started in the past year a podcast called Tabletopped, where they talk about all aspects of TTRPGs. They had me on a couple months ago to talk about gaming with kids, and it's absolutely hilarious, and it's a bunch of great human beings, and you should check them out.
Okay, all right. Advertising another
I bet you
podcast on my podcast.
if you're looking for some podcast exposure, I could probably get you on
Feel like I should
the
need it now because everyone's going to not listen to any more of this and go and listen to
show.
that. Like, sweet
Excuse
goodness.
me while I plug somebody else. But
Gosh.
no, seriously,
Don't do that without the
like,
permission.
you know that you would be my number one choice for people to shout out because you have been such an amazing, supportive friend, and I'm very lucky to have you in my life.
What? God, I'm blushing
I can't
over
wait for
here.
all the chaos we're gonna cause in March. So
It's gonna be so
if
good.
it's gonna be so good. If there's no April podcast, it's because we've been arrested.
Now, there will be an April one because I'll have already done it. But if it
Oh, there you
stops,
go.
if there's a gap, we know why.
Now you'll know why.
Like, May just doesn't have an episode. No one talks about it. It's fine. Like, got detained.
The audio's a little rough.
Chris, it sounds like you're dialing in from somewhere, not your usual setup. Okay. Last bit of fun, some quick fire questions. You're going to a biodome of your choice. Because, I wouldn't go to a tropical island. Have you seen me? I'll be no probs. And you are taking with you one film, album, book, and video game, one of each. You are allowed to have any collections. So if it's like a TV show, it's sold as a box set, you can have the whole thing. Etc., etc. You can have a greatest hits album or a collection of albums. What are you taking with you? And what biodome are you going to?
Okay, I'm going to a New England forest.
Okay.
Love them forests. I'm bringing Mean Girls,
Excellent choice.
the movie. So you said movie,
Book, album, and video game.
book. That would be The His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman.
Oh,
Love them,
okay.
love
Excellent
them.
choice.
Music. Hamilton soundtrack.
Soundtrack, okay.
And video game. Monster Hunter.
Oh, which one?
World. Monster Hunter
Nice.
World got me through the pandemic. So
Nice.
just so much fun playing with my friends. So that would be
I play a
my
little bit
video
of Monster
game.
Hunter World. Very good, but like, just I don't. I have this relationship with games where I love them, I play them a lot, and then stop.
I get to like 90% complete, and then I'm like, but I don't want it to end. And then I never finish.
I'm coming to an end with my time with Deep Rock Galactic, that I've put in like
Ooh.
100 hours into because I just enjoy it so much. But like, Crisis Core arrived this week. Because
Oof.
it's December, I'm dating the podcast again. But like, stuff like that, and I'm like, I've bought a few games here, like new, because I was like, I'm gonna get into these, and haven't played them. It's tax deductible, it's fine, so don't worry about
I've finally put my hat in the ring to try to get a PS5 because there's so many games coming out that I'm just like, it's that time.
the time has finally come.
Diablo's 4, let's go.
Okay, so again,
Okay,
no, no, we've nearly ran to time. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about the fact that you need to go to get a flu test. Last question. I always like to turn the tables upon myself and say, would you like to ask me a question? I've had, like, what are you doing with your PhD? Who would you like to have on the podcast that you haven't? What are my answers to the biodome questions? They're ones I've had before.
How's that bingo card? No.
That is an in-joke that is not going to get discussed
Yeah,
on this
nope, this is not
episode.
being discussed.
Add 3 hours to your time card, Liz, okay? There are lines, and you're dancing
Gladly.
on it.
Gladly. So I would say, who besides the ever inglorious B Dave, who is your dream podcast? Or is that what Amanda asked you? Who's your
That
dream
is
podcast
the
guest?
question, yeah.
Forget her.
Literally just said, I've been asked who to have on the show. And you're like, who would you have on the
I know. Listen, my brain is like boiling.
podcast
I know, right? Okay. If you had the opportunity, so you have the opportunity to create your dream D&D table. Who's there with you?
This is now me not going to know enough people.
I mean, it can be your friends.
I honestly, like, that's such a good question. I don't know. That's a good. Okay, all right. No, I'm gonna answer. I'm gonna answer.
Okay.
I need people that know what they're doing. Okay,
Yep.
that's the first thing. So, how many people can I have? Like, say, like six, me and five others.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I would have you, obviously, because
Oh.
we've played D&D.
Yeah.
Dr. B would be another one. Be Dave Walters.
Yeah.
Jen Kretschmer.
Yeah.
I get one more, right? One more person.
Yeah.
Let's have Elizabeth Kilmer, actually. Yeah, excellent.
Yes.
Because I'm also a big, big fan of Elizabeth. She's not been on the show yet, but I'm hopeful I can change
Yet is the key word.
that. Yeah. There we go. Muddle through it.
I feel like we could make that happen.
Don't
Gonna make
tease me, Liz.
that
Don't tease me now.
happen. Listen, you help good things happen for me. I'm gonna help good things happen for you.
Don't threaten me with a good time, okay? Thing is, though, how that would actually go, I'd turn up with like one of my pretty sets of dice that I have like on a shelving unit behind me, and I'd be like, I like to do funny voices, and everyone would like be like
Hey.
playing TTRPGs, and I'd be like, look at me, I'm wearing a t-shirt with my face on it, which I'm actually wearing, by the way, for people listening to the show. I'm wearing my own
Excellent.
merch.
Excellent. I mean, hey.
It's my show. I can do what I like.
Exactly.
I've been showing these off whenever I've been in like online meetings past couple of weeks, but I have Psyched to Be With You coasters. So I just
Ooh.
like whip check out my show, Psyched to Be With You. You can get it on a coaster. Just because.
I mean, why not?
Just not like
Listen, once
inappropriate
you.
times. Like just I was doing like a panel for like the university I work at. I was hosting it. I was like, yeah, and by the way, I host the podcast, Psyched to Be With You, like introducing myself. Here's a coaster with the logo on. It's like, because
all of the things that you could pull out of your pocket,
some people are
a
visual
coaster.
learners, and seeing
That,
their
I mean, that is
artwork
me.
helps,
Yeah.
so. But okay, we are going to round down time, because
Yes.
I've kept you far too long, Liz, already, and I want to be
Yes.
respectful. The
I
last thing
appreciate
is,
that.
where can people find you for all these hilarious hijinks on the internet? Is there a place that you would
Well,
prefer people to find you?
if Twitter still exists in the year 2023,
We are gambling on this. We are gambling on
yes.
this. We do try to have the same usernames in other places, but
Yes.
if you
So
search
I
for.
did. Yes, I did finally like rename a lot of my socials, so they're all the same. So I'm on Twitter at Liz Fastastic.
The links will be available wherever you found this episode.
Yeah, same thing for Instagram and Hive. Instagram is mostly cat pictures, but like
Here
whatever.
for it.
I tweet every now and then, I try to, but it's exhausting sometimes. Otherwise, you can catch me in the Take This Discord or the first, third, and if there's a fifth Monday of the month on Take This Plays over at takethis.org or at the Take This org Twitch channel. Starting at 6:30 p.m. EST, we just play fun games and have a cool time.
It's banger, 10 out of 10.
Yep.
All right, well, Liz, this has been
So.
great. This has just been a lovely chat. It's been nice to
I know.
hear some stories and information about you and hear some of the incredible things you get up to in the incredibly
Oh,
candid
thanks.
way you delivered that information.
I try.
I want to say I appreciate you very much for being on the show with me and for sharing this time and space. But otherwise, all that remains for me to do is say thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time. And
Bye.
as ever, for our video joiners, I'm going to click on the stream ending screen. I accidentally left the festive emotes on it. Don't mind those. I'm not gonna remove it now. It's too late. But otherwise, look after your mind, body, and soul. And I'll see you again very soon. Bye bye.
Hey, mwah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Psyched to Be With You. I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I did. If you did, do please leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It really helps. Otherwise, check out the description of the episode for the links for the guest, but also to keep up with information about the show and myself. I really hope you enjoyed this listen. Until next time, take it easy, look after your mind, body, and soul, and I'll see you again for another episode very, very soon. Bye bye.